Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, everyone? Steve Larson. Welcome to Sales Funnel Radio. This is the fourth time I have started this podcast episode because I've been trying to figure out the way to begin it. I remember there's a stage I was speaking on probably like 8 years ago, and I remember this guy stood up. There we go. This is the right way to start this episode, finally. The dude stood up. He raised his hand. It was a three-day event, and I was pretty much the only speaker for 3 days, and he raised his hand. I was like, yeah, and he stands up, and he kind of just like had, he looked defeated. You know when you can like tell someone kind of looks defeated? The dude looked defeated, and he looks at me, and he kind of like half yells, half complains, half asks, half pleads. I don't know. So imagine whatever that is in your mind. And he asks me in front of everyone, the whole event, Steven, do I have to do everything you do to be successful? I said, what do you mean? He goes, you do so much. I was like, well, I am like full time, so I'm just using my time, you know? And he goes, no, but like, do I have to do all that stuff? He's like, and it was actually a Russell event that I was facilitating for 3 days. It was an in-person event. They paid $18,000 to be in the room. I did it multiple times. And it was also not the first time I'd ever heard that question or that sentiment, at least. And the dude had a point, right? If you listen to kind of what, if you've been in this space at all for any amount of time, and then you're like, wow, look how much these people are doing. You can make a lot of money online, but it is also a lot of work, you know? I don't think there's any such thing as passive income completely. Like, everything requires some form of management or maintenance, you know, to just maintain. And, but he had a point. And I remember I looked at him and I was like, there was like four things I wanted to say to him at the same time. So I'm going to say them to you guys. Because again, not the first time I've heard it. Not the first time I've been asked that. I've been asked that a lot. I've been asked that many, many times. In fact, there's a close friend who's trying to learn this space. And she said something similar to me. She goes, I just don't want to do, I look at everything that you do and everything you've been doing. And she's like, I know that you can go make money, but she's like, I just don't have the kind of time that you have with this. And I was like, well, I think we need to reestablish some expectations here. And so I want to say those things to you guys, because it's a valid concern, but it's also misplaced. And this is actually what I have said to several people. I said, don't look at what I'm doing as the example of what it takes to be somewhat like successful on the internet or make like just like side income or whatever. And remember when I've said it to a few people, there's always a look of shock. They're like, what do you mean? I'm supposed to like model those who have success, right? And I was like, well, the problem is that that's a really dicey way to think about what it takes to model somebody. Meaning, this is how I look at it. All right, there's those that have gone before you, and they've left behind a map. They've left behind a map. They've left behind a different set of principles. They've left behind some form of success leaves clues style principles, right? And that's a good thing, right? That's a wonderful, beautiful thing. The problem is that it's easier to connect the dots looking backwards than it is forwards. And so I actually don't know anybody who's wildly successful who would say, follow me exactly as I did it. That's just not true, right? I can look backwards on my career and say, you know what? I was trying this and I was trying that and I was trying this and I was just making shots, right? I was just taking swings. I was getting back up to the plate and I was just swinging again. I was getting back up to the plate, you know, or I was getting on, I was literally adding practice time on the mat. I was adding field time. But you know what? You know, hindsight is 20/20. I would just do X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, and 3. I wouldn't go do the rest of the alphabet. Just do like these three things and you know, do that, get good at these basics, and then, you know, probably you'll get like 80% of what I've been doing. Like that's the 20% that will get the 80%. But if you go try to follow 100% of my career path in my back, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I was, okay, well, I'm about to go there, so here we go. I was literally in a psychedelic therapy session, and this topic came up. And the lady that was facilitating it, she was sitting right there with me, and we were talking about this, on how extreme certain parts of my career have been. And I know that. I know that because I'm the one going through it, right? And no, it's not been easy. And absolutely not would I say that you got to follow me to the T. Don't. In fact, I would say please don't, right? And this is part of what I'm giving you, snapshots of things that I've said to people in the past that they've asked this question. Do I need to follow what Steve Larson's career is in order to have that kind of... And the answer is I wouldn't. I wouldn't suggest it. You have to understand, I am 100% a pioneer. On purpose, I consider myself to be an idea pioneer. I consider myself to be an explorer, which means I'm going to go on some peaks and go through some valleys and go on some ridges that may not have anything to do with the destination you're going on, right? But because I got to the top of a few mountains and because I've seen around a few places, I might be able to like, hey, oh, wait, you're just trying to get from that place to that place? Cool. You know what? Having walked certain parts of that, I would do 1, 2, and 3. You know, don't, why are you over here with me? I have a totally different purpose for being over on the ridge and in the mountain that I'm on right now. Does that make sense? So I was telling this to Russell a couple of years ago. I was like, one of the things that I do, I look for what I call, like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast. It's not the point of the podcast. I got one other major thing I'm trying to get to here, so I'm just trying to tee it up. Okay. I look for framework masters. That's what I call them. And it's kind of a stupid, cheesy name, but to be honest, I think it's the best way to describe at least the sentiment, which is that I want to learn the frameworks or the maps. I want to learn the maps of how to get from point A to point B from as many of like yesteryear's gurus as possible, with the full and complete expectation that there's going to be gaps. And that's not to bash yesteryear's gurus, right? But P.T. Barnum didn't have the internet, right? Principles are principles and they remain the same. However, information absolutely affects inspiration, right? You got more info, you 100% can make better decisions. The catch 22 of it is that if you sit around for info all the time, you don't make any actions, right? And so you don't do anything. And so that's the catch 22 of it. And there's the form of education you get before you actually take the first step out on the trailhead. And there's the form of education, which is greater and faster, which is the type of education you get while you're on the trail, right? And so that's one of the biggest things to understand when you're learning from anybody. I want to go learn from the gurus. I want to learn from all the people. And I'm going to look for, I'm not going to say that they've got anything wrong, but I am going to say, I'm going to leave open the opportunity that, you know what? P.T. Barnum lived like almost 200 years ago. What are the chances? There's a few things in his frameworks that the principles remain, but of course the tactics change. Or maybe there's some additions to principles now that there's things like the internet now, right? And humanity has wildly changed. And we have like running water, indoor plumbing, and cars, and right? You know what I'm saying? It is a different world. And you don't have to wait 200 years for that to be true for pretty much everything. Right? If there's other frameworks, there's other things that you guys are going to go learn. Now, the one thing that does drive me nuts is when I put out a course and I'm still selling a course and someone's like, is this still applicable in 2025? And I'm like, I wouldn't keep it up if it wasn't principle-based and you still can use it today. Right? But I understand the concern. It's a very valid concern. Sorry, I had to get through that yellow. dropping my kids off at school. Anyway, so here is, without continuing down this very same path over and over and over again, let me get to the actual point of this episode, because I think I've teed it up now. If you look at I believe everybody, every man, woman, and child on this planet should have a marketing calendar. If you're in marketing, it's ridiculous. Or if you're an entrepreneur, you need to have a marketing calendar. And it's not your Google calendar. It's not electronic. I actually learned this by sitting next to Russell. He has a massive physical wall calendar. And I can't express to you the importance of having one, because you don't write with permanent marker. You write with a dry erase marker. And the dry erase marker is so key in marketing, because things change. You know, there's opportunities in marketing that pop up that's like something that's a super hot piece of news that's in the moment. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Right? I got a great piece of news that's in the moment. And I can react to it. Say something pops up, you know, let's say something pops up that I couldn't have planned, and I can ride that market noise for a little bit. I can't plan that. So I need to have marketing space in my calendar that is open for the things that are in the moment. And I need to have things in my calendar that are things that I've planned, much like an event, right? Which takes far more than a week to go promote. You got to promote an event for usually a while. It depends on the strategy you're running. But does that make sense? It's such a key piece to keep in mind with marketing. So here is a piece of don't do as I did advice in terms of your marketing and marketing calendar. Back when I was still at ClickFunnels, 8 years ago, holy smokes, this is 9 years ago. 9 years ago in like 2 months is when I got hired. Dang. I've been building funnels a long time. I think so. Wait, 2025. Yeah. Wow, nuts. Anyway, back 9 years ago when I got hired there, when people would join Russell's Inner Circle, the very first thing, or one of the first things he would do with them, is he would have each person create their standard marketing month. This was the marketing cadence that you as a business would agree to in order to keep your lead flow coming in, right? And so And this is what we do. We'd go in and we'd say, hey, and I'm just going to give you an example. Challenges were not a thing back then, but you know what? Let me just make it up here. Let me act like it's modern times. Hey, you know what? The first week of every month, we're going to do a challenge. We're going to run a challenge for our business. The first week of every month. The third Thursday of every month, we're going to do a webinar or like a masterclass or something. The second Tuesday of every month, we're going to do a 24-hour fire sale. Every Friday of the month, we're going to go do a live show streaming to YouTube or whatever platform, literally demonstrating our expertise. Okay. Now, what you end up getting when you do that is repeatable marketing. Repeatable marketing is always the goal. When you see me going out and like trying this thing and trying that thing, I'm just trying it. Like, I'm a pioneer. I'm testing. I'm in my lab, so to speak, right? I'm a marketing scientist seeing it, if something works. I mean, I literally left my job so that I could test a market positioning theory that I had written out, and it worked. And now I've done it several times now. It was, you know, like red ocean, blue ocean. If you know that kind of like market positioning, red ocean, blue ocean. I hate red ocean, blue ocean. I wanted to test to do a new market positioning that I'd come up with called red ocean, blue offer, which I will be writing a book on because it's way easier. It makes far more sense for those of us who are not trying to build something the size of a ClickFunnels and you're okay with, you know, 100 million instead of a billion. Oh, darn. So anyway, so don't follow me for every single thing that you see me go do. Right. I wouldn't say that I've done it the right, you know, done it the right way. At all, you know, I would certainly look backwards and go, okay, here's the handful of funnels that has become the staple. Here's the handful of promotion methods that have become the staple. This is my favorite ways to get people on the phone because I've tried a lot and these are like the two that are the best for me. Here's my favorite ways to throw an event, but it depends if it's for a workshop and fulfillment or if it's for a sales thing, right? Here, you see what I'm saying? And I like to try stuff. I like to try a lot. It's also why my content is so good. Someone was like, you know, are you just reading and studying all the time? Is that how your stuff is good? No. My best education comes by doing something. And so that's the reason. Anyway, let me get back to the main point though. The main point is that as a marketer, what you're trying to do is you're trying to try a lot of stuff. And think of it like this. I'm going to go do, let's say, a challenge at the beginning of each month, right? A third Thursday webinar, a second Tuesday fire sale, the last week of each month, I don't know, something else. I'm going to do a cart close email sequence. Every Friday I'm going to do a live, just like I was just saying, you want to create a calendar that is repeatable marketing. And what it ends up creating is what I call, you add it with something else that I call the cash flow cadence. So now that you have a marketing standard, it's time to create a cash flow cadence. And together, those things are how we control lead flow and cash flow. And if you're like, wow, this is sounding like what I need, come to one of my events, right? Or get on the phone with us. Like, I used to teach everything on my content, on my podcast stuff and everymore. And then sometimes people be like, well, I listen to all your stuff for free. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, that's cool, but my paid stuff's better. Anyway, but you want to find those things that are repeatable. The problem is that when you're first starting out, you don't know what works. And so if you have never really done like any kind of a campaign, you know, if you never launched anything ever, then I wouldn't even try to look for things that are repeatable marketing for you. You don't know what works. There's this nine-figure company that hired me a couple years ago to come do some consulting for them and build some huge projects, and it was awesome and it's fun. Well, they did not follow what I said, and I even made them sign a thing before they got started saying they would not do the thing that I knew they'd be tempted to do. They signed it and they did it anyway, and I was like, it's not gonna work. And they're like, we think it will. And I was like, I promise it's not gonna work. And they're like, well, we know what we're doing. And I was like, I know what I'm doing more than you do. All right, that's why you hired me. And sure enough, it didn't work. It didn't fail, but they're like, how come it didn't work? And I was like, because you did the thing I said not to do, right? Now, they were already obsessed with going out and automating. And I said, don't automate. And they're like, how come? I was like, well, did you get the results that you wanted and were looking for? And they're like, no. And I was like, then why would you automate? Don't automate something that didn't do exactly what you want. When you automate, I learned this at ClickFunnels. When you automate, you need to expect all of your performance metrics to cut in half. Okay, so this is how you know when it's time to quote unquote automate. Nothing's totally automated either. But you gotta go in and you gotta automate when, let's say you're getting 100 opt-ins on a live promotion. Nothing's automated, you're right, let's say it's a live, I don't know, webinar. Well, could all of your metrics survive if you were getting 50? Only 50 instead of 100? let's say that you get a 10% purchase rate, right, on your live webinar. Will your metrics remain as they are if you go to 5%? Right, and it's been pretty accurate across the board that anytime I'm about to go automate, I have to look at all the live metrics, chop them and everything in half, all performance in half, and if it still is profitable, then I can automate. But if it doesn't, then don't. It's not good enough to automate. All the metrics chop in half when you go automate. And so people start this game, they're like, I'm going to build a funnel so it's completely automated. I'm like, you're not. Use the funnel in the broader campaign tense. Don't just go put a funnel. Like, I'm not saying there's not people out there that figure it out where they just automate out the gate and it works, but it's usually people who've been in the space for a while. Doing an automation method straight out of the gate is frankly gambling. You don't know if your message is good. You don't know if you found the right audience to put ads to. You have no idea if the offer is really what people want. You're still new on fulfillment, so how on earth could it be world class? Can you handle the volume of people that could be coming in if it does work? Right? It's risk, gambling, and that is not me, and that is not what I go do. So what I go do is I do a bunch of live stuff expecting that probably half of it is not going to be incredible. I don't go try to create repeatable marketing out the gate on any new business or project. What you do is this is how you plan a marketing calendar. And I'm so blown away. Nobody teaches this. No one teaches it. When I was doing the dramatic demonstration workshop, which was largely Russell's Inner Circle group, this was the speech that I got the most oohs, ahs, oh my goshes, and how come I've never heard of this before. And I didn't have an answer for them. I figured people always know about this. Calendaring is a square one skill set of every single marketer. And if you don't ever do it with a physical wall calendar, you are literally living for the week. You can't plan a campaign. You don't know what's repeatable. You don't know what works. It's very hard to go back and track anything. And it's one of the reasons my stuff does so well. I don't go into it trying to go and automate something out of the gate. Let me just make it evergreen. I'm just going to make everything repeatable out the gate. No, what I go do is I test stuff live. I see what works and then I tweak and then I automate. You know what's cool about that method? You take the cash that came from the live campaigns and you dump it into the automated campaigns, which means I still have never in 10 years ever spent my own money on ads. The money has always come from previously trying it live, and it's never the same size as, right? It's never huge. But if I can't sell it organically, why would I try to sell it with ads? Albert Lasker, he literally was the marketer that invented orange juice. Famous marketer in the 1950s, literally said that as a quote, right? The product that will not sell profitably without advertising will not sell profitably with advertising. That's the direct quote. I love the fact that we have automation, and it absolutely is like the mecca of the internet marketing space because the potential for it is there. But going out of the gate with the expectation of it destroys more good offers than anything else that I see. The funnel, most of the time, is, you know, can usually have a lot of upgrading and changes and tweaks. The offer is usually always good enough. I can tweak it. I can do some upgrading. The funnel usually needs some help. What needs dramatic help is always the marketing, which is like copy. The copy usually sucks. Okay. And then they're going out and they're spending money on ads and they're like, funnels don't work or my offer's not good. I'm like, you're looking at the wrong thing completely. Don't go try to create repeatable marketing for a while. It is actually the square one reason why Russell told everyone to do a live webinar every single week. It wasn't about some masochist thing. A lot of people are like, well, that just sucks. You're missing the point. My webinar that I automated and made $2 million over 2 years and I just didn't really ever touch it again, I did it live 17 times, 17 weeks in a row. People are like, how do you get the leads? Well, okay, I actually didn't turn leads on for the first 3 months. Well, how'd you get the leads? Dude, I freaking marketed. Ads aren't marketing. They're a way to market. And really, even then, they're just a way that spreads marketing. You get what I'm saying? This is why I get so hot and bothered on this topic, because like I see so many good offers and legitimate experts who come into the space, they come into this game, and then they're like, I can't do this this question drives me nuts. Does that marketing still work? All marketing you've ever heard of ever still works. All of it. The only thing that gets a half-life is hooks. Hooks have a half-life. If people are on a channel, you can use it for marketing. I know this, people still have Snapchat, right? You guys remember when like Clubhouse was still a thing? There's still people using it, which means you can use it for marketing. Stop thinking platforms are marketing. They're not. They're what spreads marketing. The internet isn't marketing. There's no such thing as internet marketing. There's marketing, and we use the internet to distribute it. And so people think about it completely backwards, and they come out of the gate and they're like, I'm going to go build a funnel so I can have repeatable, so I can have, I can automate everything. It's like, cool. Hopefully you're not planning on automating for like 3 months. That's what I would say. That's what I say to most people. Now, because of that, sometimes it gets confusing because you look at people like me or Russell or some other person who's been in the space for a long time and go, wow, I got to try that. I got to try that. I got to do this. Is that really the standard for what I got to go do in order to make this successful? And the answer is no. Right? What I would go do is I would choose like two things. Choose a funnel that's up 24/7. I call them 24/7 funnels. You know, a tripwire funnel. This is Sales Funnel Radio, so I'm talking sales funnel talk. All right. Choose a tripwire funnel. That's a funnel that's up all the time. Starts with a little bit of an offer that's a cheap price, and then there's an upsell for a little bit more expensive, and then upsell for a little more expensive. Sweet. That's awesome. All right, that's great. That's a that can be up 24/7. It's not like a campaign. You got to match it with a campaign that's more event style if you're going to make a lot of money from it quickly, but it's up all the time. Or like a VSL. A VSL is up 24/7. Choose a VSL, or sorry, a 24/7 funnel type, something that's just up all the time. Right? Then the next thing that you go do is you choose more of a live event style funnel, a webinar. We used to call those events, by the way. Right? A virtual webinar is still an event. A challenge or a masterclass. If you don't know what these styles are, then just go look them up. But I'm giving a huge piece of the puzzle here that just choose like two things. And your only thing that you do all day, every day for one, like each month, right, is how can I load up my event style funnel this week and like run the event. And if it's not monthly, or if it's not weekly, then it needs to be monthly. All right. I still think that at least a webinar every other week is one of the greatest things you can go do. They still work, by the way. I think it's funny. Do webinars still work? If you're a marketer, yeah. Yeah. Do challenges still work? I feel like everyone does them. Is it because they work? Do funnels still work? I feel like maybe, well, yeah, they do. They do. Are people still online? Yeah. The reason why it feels like it's been harder is because the messaging requirements have changed. Platforms are smarter. AI is everywhere. You can't just have a good offer and then go make noise now. Okay. Messaging is the next new piece. That's why Papa Larson here has been super busy. People are like, oh, I have a great offer. I'm good at entrepreneurship, but I'm not actually great at marketing. Marketing is not posting something on the internet. It's the copy you write that goes on the internet, right? That's how you express it anyway. So I literally bought repeatablemarketing.com because I will write a book on this topic. And it's the skill set of saying, you know what? I'm going to plan 10 big pushes this year, and I'm going to take the two that rocked and make them repeatable. That doesn't mean always automate. That means I'm going to repeat them, right? It's time. I am declaring to the community that there needs to be a new category besides just live and automated. There's an in-between, and it's called repeatable. That's what I've been calling it. I'm going to do lots of live stuff. I'm going to try stuff, right? It's like, instead of live and automated, we need to be more like, I'm in the see what works phase. And the complete opposite is the I know it works and it's completely automated 99% and I just maintain it. Well, in the middle is repeatable. And that could be automated, that could be live, right? Repeatable marketing is the key. Repeatable marketing is what is important in 2025 moving forward, because that's what people are struggling with. It's not that funnels don't work, they all work. What doesn't work is the ways that you used to fill and fuel the funnel have just shifted. It's not that it's harder. It's that your messaging just needs to be better, which usually requires that people need to know more about who they sell and don't sell, right? It's time to start defining the hell customer. You got to, if you know who your dream customer is, you got to define the nightmare. All right, repel one and attract the other. Most of the time in the past, pre-2020, you could just do magnet-based marketing, but you didn't need a filter. I'm just going to cannon the internet and I'm just going to blast stuff all over the place. Okay, well, it's shifted. It's changed. You got it. Your marketing must now include filters inside of it. And that's because of AI is trying to serve people up to you all the time. So when you help it understand who you want and don't want, it's actually, there's a lot of reasons for the things that have been going on, but that's the core reason. And so the way we react to it is not hard, but just like, my biggest plea with this episode is that you don't rush out trying to go automate everything. You don't rush out trying to go, meaning out of the gate. You don't rush out saying like, oh my gosh, I got to have like this campaign this week and this campaign this week and this campaign this week. And I got to be running this one this week. And I got to do this launch and this launch, because that's what Steve does. No, there again, two reasons to nutshell it and to close this episode. The two reasons why I do what I do is, number one, I'm testing because I'm just kind of a pioneer. I just like trying stuff, right? The second is that I am testing for the sake of what I could repeat or automate later on. Repeat or automate later on. So that's really it. Success leaves clues, but you got to remember that your experience is still going to be different than anyone else. Even if you follow someone to the T, like, you still will not have the same experience or results as that person for a very simple principle. And here it is. Maps don't show terrain. They just show landmarks, right? If I get a trail map and I go backpacking, it still doesn't show the terrain, which means I might have a tree that's fallen on the map, that on the trail that you didn't have when you went there, right? There might be a rainstorm that comes in that was so intense it washes some things out. Right? So I got to like piece a few more pieces together. Maybe my own emotional psyche has a hard time handling the extreme quiet of being in the outdoors. And so my experience is already going to be different than the person that can handle the extreme quiet. You see what I'm saying? Maps don't show terrain. And so whenever you're following a guru, whenever you're following somebody who's been there, done that, so to speak, always take it with a grain of salt, recognizing that what you're trying to find is you're trying to find milestones. You're trying to understand general principles. I'm trying to understand their frameworks and processes, but with the complete understanding that maps don't show terrain, right? I'm not going to try to question them. I'm not going to try to question them is what I said. I might, in a healthy way though. But I'm also going to sit there and recognize that what they're telling me is probably not, and hopefully not, an exact regurgitation of what they went through. I'm hoping that they went back. They went so far down the path that they could turn around and say, hey, do these 4 or 5 steps. I originally did these 17 steps, but I got to tell you, I whittled it down. Like, I really just do these 5 because the full 17, some of that was rough. So, hey, to show you that the 5 worked, I actually went back at the beginning just like you and I did the 5 over and over and realized it's the easiest way to go do it. That's how you find a framework. It takes time. It takes work. It takes effort and energy. Frameworks are not processes, right? Most people just document like, well, this is how you do it. Step 1 through 17. And someone's like, what? No. You're trying to find repeatable marketing. You're trying to find those 5 things. That's how you play the game. Okay. So what I want you to do, and what I do in my workshops, and this is very interesting to watch how people react to this. I want you to look at 2024. I want you to look backwards and I want you to say, what are the top 2 or 3 things I did last year that brought in the most leads? That's question number 1. Question number 2 is, what are the top 2 or 3 things I did last year that brought in the most sales? Okay, that's it. And you're only allowed to put 2 or 3. And if you only have 2 or 3, first off, that might be the problem why you're not further along. Okay, you gotta go fast. You gotta put up more out to see what actually is working and actually is repeatable. Okay, but the second thing with this though is now you're able to look backwards and go, wow, when I go do this, this, and that, my customers have the most success. It's the thing that I like doing the most. It's the thing that sells the most. It's the thing that creates amazing onboarding and experiences. Why do you think I'm doing so many workshops this next year? We have a workshop happening literally each month.
Number one, I love them. Number two, I own my own stage. If you dropped $1 million on your own stage, you probably would do a lot more of events as well, right? Number three, though, they are by far, without question, the coolest way to get the fastest amount of progress for the person who's coming, mixed with my number one dramatic demonstration is workshops. So I've got cool experts coming in who don't have their own platform, you know, or are not really that big with a following on the internet. And I'm co-authoring workshops, books, and courses with them. It's great, right? I'm building the book funnel. I'm speaking a few times on their event, and then they're coming in and doing the rest of it, and we're co-authoring stuff. And then I plug it into my recurring revenue systems, and they get recurring commissions monthly for the rest of their life on those accounts. It's an amazing way to be an author. Most authors don't make money, right? You see what I'm saying? But I did that because my team and I, we looked backwards and said, you know what the common thread has been on everyone cool that we've been working with and the best way to acquire and the fastest? These workshops. These workshops have been amazing. Anyway, that's the cat out of the bag. Hey, repeatable marketing. It's not the same thing as automated marketing. And it's not the same thing as, you know, again, don't follow everything that I've done. Take my courses, because in there is the things that I'm like, hey, these are actually the steps. You guys are awesome. Go piss off a socialist today, which is as simple as making a sale and having dreams, goals, and vision, and having a purpose for what you're doing today. Anyway, you guys are awesome. And if you guys want to come to one of my workshops, go to cjlarson.com. I tend to keep that place pretty updated. If you're looking to sponsor Sales Funnel Radio, I'm actually letting that happen now. If you want to get interviewed on Sales Funnel Radio, I'm also letting that also be a thing. I'm very, 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 very picky, but very picky. But, you know, if you're still interested in that, let me know. Go to salesfunnelradio.com. There's a place you can click there that says sponsorships. There's another one there that says get interviewed on Sales Funnel Radio. And there's a place there that also says interview Steve. So you guys are incredible. Super excited. Love this show. It's funny. I kind of like thought I would like kind of leave the show for a while. And that was a dumb mistake. So I'm back, baby. And I'm just, a lot of my episodes might be in the car because I drive so much in the morning, drop my kids off at school. but hey, I'm here and hopefully you got something out of this. If you could, please let me know, review the podcast. That actually means a lot. I do read them. It means a lot to me. This show's been going on for 8 years. Wait, dang. Yeah. This show's been going a long time. You guys are incredible.
I think one of the most painful things an entrepreneur can experience is to go through all the hard work of building a really good offer. And it's not just that people pass over your offer. It's that they ask how you're actually different than your competitors because they can't tell. Brand is what cures that problem. Brand is what helps your dream customer make the knee-jerk judgment that they should, that your offer is different compared to your competitors. Brand is funny. It used to be that you could build the business first, then brand second, but that's all changed. We've now entered an era of building the business and the brand at the same time. And those who don't are left to fight for their sale by only citing things about their product. Choosing to skip brand building today is like playing business checkers while everybody else is playing chess. The board looks the same, but the game is totally different. That's why Marley Jackson and I created the Rare Mastery Masterclass at raremastery.com. It's a half-day virtual workshop, and the whole point is to show you how to outposition your competition without building another offer, another funnel, another launch. Because our goal is to share how to design your pervasive brand, which helps your dream customers make an immediate subconscious judgment that your offer is different than your competition. So go register for the next Rare Mastery Masterclass at raremastery.com. Because if your dream customers can't tell that your offer is different on their own without you explaining it, your offer could be the best in the world, but it's already cut off at the ankles. Go to raremastery.com and join us, because brand building has nothing to do with colors, logos, or fonts. Learn how to build a rare brand that matches your rare offer at raremastery.com.
From automated assembly lines to smart factories, manufacturing is going digital and fast. If you want to stay relevant, you need the right tech skills. CBT Nuggets helps you get there with practical, easy-to-follow IT training. Build in-demand skills in networking, cybersecurity, and system automation without investing in costly hardware or struggling with complicated setups. Our short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs make learning simple and effective. Whether you're a technician on the floor, a manager leading teams, or an engineer optimizing systems, CBT Nuggets fits your schedule and meets you where you are. Train at your own pace, from any device, wherever it works for you. And with new content added regularly, there's always something relevant to learn. Join thousands of professionals who are leveling up their careers with CBT Nuggets. Right now, you can start a 7-day free trial and explore everything we offer. No commitment required. Go to cbtnuggets.com today, because in modern manufacturing, better tech skills mean better opportunities.